Well, it's Malcolm Out Loud. This is Real Life. Joining me on the show today, Vasula Rudin. Vasula is a Greek Orthodox woman who has been chosen by God in 1985 to write down His messages named True Life in God. And now, on to Real Life.
All in preparation for the challenges that lie ahead. This is a show that feeds the mind with inspiration and truth on the issues of the day. If it's important to your life, you'll find it here. Hosted by Malcolm Out Loud.
Well, as I said at the very top of the show here, this is a very, very important message, and I'm anxious to bring it to everybody. I received this message just recently in my email inbox and reached out to Vasula Rudin and asked her to come on our radio program to discuss this. This show will be heard tens of thousands of times, not only on radio, but on podcast after as well. So the message, I will start here and say, the Lord gives us an urgent prayer. This came in on February 13th, 2016. Is that correct, Vasula?
Yes, Malcolm.
It's good to hear you today. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, Malcolm.
So it says here, my peace I give to you. Will you pen down my words, God spoke, and you said, yes, Lord. And I would like you to start off, if you would please, and read the first part of this message.
Well, the Lord says, after what I said, yes, Lord, He says, this generation is hard to bend. Enfeebled by their sins, they lay their confidence in Satan, building their hope in him. Although I have been standing before everyone to see me, few have taken notice. Their leaders have grown cruel, and death awaits many nations through their hand. How much have I wept over you, creation? You whose life now will be streaming down in death. Then, when flames will lick like tongues your inhabitants bursting in the air, I will ask this generation, where will you find relief? And in whom? In Satan? In your ego and self?
So that is the first part of the message, and it is definitely an eye-opener. I want to ask you, Vasula.
Yes.
Looking at more recent events from around the world, who, in your opinion, is winning this spiritual war?
We know one thing, that as we see things, they are so bad, and, you know, terrorism all over the world, and it seems like as if we are the losers, but in the end, it's the Lord who triumphs. And I see things that can become very positive in the end out of what is happening now.
You know, where people feel like, you know, it's all doom and it's all really bad and the spiritual war we're not winning. Yet I'm going to show today on this show, when I a little bit after here, that Christianity is doing very well actually out there, Vasula. It's the numbers are rising. More people are coming to Christianity than ever before.
Yes, it's a sort of purification. You know, when there are hard times, you tend to turn to God. Even those that never thought of Him, they start thinking of God, and they humble themselves, and they go back to their churches or pray to God and for help. You know, that's a way that makes people remember God.
Yes. One of the things we see, as you say already, is the level of terrorism around the world has increased greatly. And there's a lot of evil out there. You know, one of the things I always try to do, Vasula, is bring good into the conversation. As you know, my heart is good, and I like to bring out the good because I believe there is a lot of good in humanity.
There is good, but there's so much evil at the same time. So there is a spiritual battle going on in our times. And God has been warning us since the messages started in 1985. He has been warning us nonstop to change our lives, to repent, because what lies ahead of us is not good. He even gave a message in the past that he was like with a loud voice in agony shouting to us, saying, creation, wake up, because Satan is preparing a great Holocaust for you.
Right.
So there were many warnings, but God's love is so great that he just couldn't resist but come and warn us.
So this message is construed as a very clear warning.
It is, yeah. It is. Yeah. Because the previous messages, I mean, you can't just take one message out like that. It's so many messages, mm-hmm. but it's it shows so much love and mercy coming from God. And I never like to speak about doom and gloom when mm-hmm. I go around speaking.
Right.
But I want to give hope to the world. I want to give hope to the people, because there is hope. And God is our hope. And we have to really cling on him.
Amen. Amen for that. We're going to take a quick pause here and return with Vasula Rudan in just a moment. And I want to talk with her. This next part of the message is very interesting to me. It talks about a thunderclap, which we will talk about. And also some very interesting questions about this generation. We'll be right back with Real Life and Vasula Rudan in just a moment. We are speaking today with Vasula Rudan. She again has really since 1985 have been really been chosen by God and has been receiving these messages from God. You know, the messages are named True Life in God, and so is the organization that has been founded that is doing so much good around the world. The website for this is very, very easy. TLIG.org. You'll find all the messages there and a whole lot more about True Life in God, the work that is being done around the globe, and Vasula Rudan herself. So, as we get back to this very, very critical message, when I received this in my email box, I had to reach to Vasula and say, we need to do this. I need to, you know, do a show on this and talk about this. And so, the next paragraph, Vasula, which starts with the time. Would you read that, please?
Yes, the second paragraph is, the time has come to execute my justice for the punishment of of this faithless generation is at your doors. I will carry out my orders to the letter. When you will hear a thunderclap, my voice will be heard, thundering in your ears, resounding to the very ends of the earth. Then know that the world and all who live in it will hear the voice of justice. Evil will bring death to many nations. Ruin will creep up in every city. Have you heard that the angel of Yahweh will encircle cities and nations, calling everyone to repent? These are the things that will take place in the days to come.
Now, Vasula, the message says faithless generation.
Yes.
Yet, as I said at the start of the show here, yet research shows that Christianity is actually on the rise. And what I want to ask you is, can you explain what we mean by faithless generation, and does it mean that the evil has become more evil?
Well, yes, the evil has become more evil, but when God says, and he means this faithless generation, there are Christians who are tepid. They're not hot like he wants them. They doubt. They are in a lethargic spirit sometimes. You say that there are more, you can see more faith in people these days. But I don't think so much, because in Europe, I don't know how it is in America, but in Europe, there are so many cathedrals being sold. They're empty. The churches are empty. The cathedrals were so empty they had to sell them, and they became casinos, restaurants, cafeterias. And this shows that there is an apostasy. In the messages, God is speaking about an apostasy. In the scriptures, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says about these times, the end of times, that there will be a great apostasy. It's St. Paul who speaks about that great apostasy. So, yes, there are those that come back to God, but there is a lot also who are still out there rejecting God. I've been speaking to young people who were baptized Christian, and then they tell you, well, we don't believe in God. Are you still believing in God? You know, there is a kind of fall away.
Tell me, Vasula, about the thunderclap. What do you envision this to be like?
When you will hear a thunderclap, I think sometimes you see it is difficult to define everything what the Lord says, because it can be metaphoric, and it can be sometimes, as he says, thunderclap, it's a loud noise. I believe it's a loud noise what he means here.
And this thunderclap would get the world's attention, yes?
It will be heard by many.
Right, okay.
Thundering in your ears, he says, resounding to the very ends of the earth.
Well, that sounds to me like nobody's going to miss that moment.
No.
Yeah, that's what I get from that. All right, yeah. Also, evil will bring death to many nations. I want to ask you, please, when I hear that now, is this the true definition of what we call end of times?
No. End of times, you must not misunderstand. End of times is not the end of the world. It's another term. It means end of one epoch, end of one season, but not end of the world. When the Lord says here, evil will bring death to many nations, it could be explained like our sins draw justice and death on us. It could be like when he prophesied, when he gave me a prophecy about the tsunami, the first tsunami, three times before it happens in detail. And he said, the Lord said, well, this is that we are drawing those catastrophes. We are drawing all these misfortunes on us by our sinfulness. And it is not God, really, who just puts these things on us. But we provoke God's justice by our sinfulness.
I know it doesn't mean the entire end of the world, but I still wonder, at this moment, with this important message and the pause that I sense with it, or the urgency of this message, Vasula, I mean, the message struck me and gave me a really chill all the way down my spine when I read. I knew this was very, very important. But when we say evil will bring death to many nations, you see why I ask, not so much the world is ending, but with this pause in this moment in this message and the thunderclap, is this part of that end of times conversation? I guess that's what I was trying to ask. No? No? Does that make sense?
Well, when you say, when I read out, when you will hear a thunderclap, mm-hmm. There's something, you know, to me, I don't want to explain when I'm not understanding it completely.
Okay.
When he doesn't give me complete light to know exactly if it is metaphoric or not,
okay.
I just prefer...
You know what? I respect that so much of you.
I
respect that so much of you, okay? Because I so much respect that. Because, Vasula, so many people out there and so many Christians and churches have interpreted things to however they want to interpret them, right?
No, we shouldn't, really,
right?
Because we can misguide people. You know, this is a message that I received just as it is, but my feeling was that it is really urgent, because he makes me feel when it is important to get it out immediately, and I did. And, you know, when the Lord spoke about the tsunami in the past, I thought it was metaphoric language, because it was so powerful what he described the tsunami, and that the earth will come out of its axis. And I thought, well, how could that happen? This is metaphoric language, like he can give it to us in images. If he want to say how upset he is, he can give it to us in images. But it was not a metaphoric, it was reality. Right. And I didn't want to explain it because I don't know. So I prefer to be cautious. I say this is how it came out, how I heard it, and I wrote it down. But I don't want to go further into detail when I am not sure if I'm doing the correct answers to you.
Well, I respect that so much. I really, really do. The next part of the message starts with, therefore you. Can you pick it up there, please?
Therefore, you who have entered my courts, capital letters in courts, and believed in my sayings, pray and do not dread or fear. But you who have jeered for endless years on my sayings, striking with your tongue my prophets, beware. For you have used lies to justify your lies. You have indeed buried my words in your tomb, in your own tomb. Yes, indeed, you have been twisting my words. But your sins have created a gulf between you and me. And now, justice will not be withheld. I tell you, bitter will be your coming days when I will confront you. Pray and do not allow your eyelids to close down in sleep.
Now, this is about faith and faithless. I find special interest, Vasula, with this twist in my words. Okay?
Yes.
I find very special interest with twisting my words. Now, I want to ask, we have many religions and interpretations of God and the Bible here on earth. Is this some of the challenge, perhaps?
But let me go back a little bit, Malcolm, because you see here, the most important thing you should focus on that passage is when he says, pray and do not dread or fear. This is so important, but when we should not miss that part. Because if we pray, we are close to God and we should not be afraid. We should never be afraid. Even if he describes those thunderclaps and what bursting in the air, the flames and all that, we should still not fear when we are with God, and we should pray. That's why I'm focusing on that sentence. But then you say, you asked me about...
twisting my words.
Twisting my words. No, where is the twisting? He says, you have indeed buried my words in your own tomb. You have buried my words in your own tomb. That means it's people who do not accept. And it's metaphoric when he says in your own tomb, because there are the spiritually dead people who intentionally and purposely, they have rejected God. And these can be like spiritually dead inside them.
Right. Well, it says, yeah, sure. And it says here, you have indeed buried my words in your own tomb. Yes, indeed, you have been twisting my words. That's what
that
I mean.
Means, yes. When he says here, you have been twisting my words, it means that some people, but there are so few of them, you have been twisting my words, they try to find fault. And they interpret the message in a wrong way.
Okay.
That's what he means, twisting my words.
Yeah. I find that very interesting. All right, that was the first part of this extraordinary message. And then there was a very special prayer that was with this message. Yes, Vasula?
Yes, because when he said here just before, you should pray, isn't it? He said you should pray.
Right.
Let this prophecy be heard, and then he said he asks us also to pray. But then he wants us to pray in a special way. Here, Right. The last sentence was, pray and do not allow your eyelids to close down in sleep. All right. And here is how you should pray, he says. This is the words from him now. And these are very important words. Shall I read it?
Please. I've been praying myself this prayer, but I have pauses in here. But yes, please start with the top there. Yeah.
Yes, because this prayer, many people who read the messages are praying it every single day. And that is what he wants. So here is how you should pray. Yahweh, my God, let my prayer reach you. Hear our cry of mercy and for help. Forgive those who have no faith in you, my God, and no trust either in your power to save us.
Now, Vasula, as you just read that, if you listen to the words you just read, to me it sounded like the order of the day is not forgiveness, but restitution. And what I mean by this is, the last part of this paragraph here of the prayer, forgive those who have no faith in you, my God, and no trust either in your power to save us. How do you see this?
I see, and I remember people whom I've been talking to who have absolutely lost their faith in God and don't believe in God, nor of his power, nor that he's watching over us, and they don't trust him anymore. I mean, that he's existing even. So here the Lord is putting the words in our mouth to forgive, to ask him to forgive those who have no faith in him, who have lost their faith in him. Okay. And they don't trust either in his power to save us. They keep saying, you know, and that's a pity. They say, you know, I have sinned so much. Some of them can say, I have sinned so much. God will never forgive me anymore. He won't look at me. Right. And they lose their hope and they go to despair. But God is all merciful. He's all love. He's all tenderness. And he's just so ready to forgive every single person because we all are so precious in his eyes.
Amen. Amen. All right. The second paragraph to the prayer. Can you read that?
It goes on to say, do not blast the lights out of our days, withering with it in a flash the earth. But in your fatherly compassion, pity us and forgive us.
Now the words forgive us, it does seem that evil has a louder voice these days, and we've already clarified this in our talk. But these people, the evil people I'm speaking of, Vasula, now, who are doing these bad deeds around the world, okay? They obviously do not want to be forgiven. And let me just say, they are destructive with hatred and cause to create havoc in Christian communities everywhere. So, who are we asking forgiveness for? Ourselves? Christians? Evil people who want to destroy humanity?
For everyone, the bad and the good, for everyone. And for the good, if they were tepid, perhaps, that we didn't do exactly what God wanted and asked us for. Because he wants also sacrificial love. He's been asking us for acts of reparation, sacrificial love, prayer, repentance, all this. And perhaps there are some who have not done this. And so in this prayer, we ask the Father to pity us and to forgive us, forgive everyone.
But Vasula, when you say that now, how do we forgive? I need to understand. I know a lot of listeners would want to know this. I mean, when I speak of, and I just want to understand here, when we speak of the hatred in the world and the evil people who want to kill people and destroy humanity, how do we go about forgiving them? Is that what
Malcolm, what? We have been taught never to use eye for eye, tooth for tooth.
Don't use it.
We must not use that. That was in the past. But then Jesus came and taught us not to do the same thing they do to us when they are the enemies, let's say. Do not do tooth for tooth and eye for eye.
Okay, but I accept that. But how do we stop them from being so evil and coming after to us to kill us?
You know, Malcolm, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know that prayer is powerful. Prayer can change the world. Prayer, the more we pray, the more evil will stop, you know. And there will be a return from evil to good. I believe in prayer and the power of prayer.
All right, but even if we go to the level of forgiven those who hate and want to kill us, but can I say to you that that doesn't mean, I mean, we should still protect ourselves, yes?
Yes, this is very human to feel grudge, to feel hatred, to feel all that. But with the grace of God only, with the grace of God, we can forgive our enemies.
Well, forgive them, I understand this, and I can accept that, because you don't want to live in hatred and live in fear and all of that.
No one wants. Everyone wants to be happy.
But what they want us, what I've determined, Vasula, in all my reporting and diagnosis here, is they want us to live in fear.
Yes, that's why we call them terrorists.
Yes.
Yes, they want us to live in fear. But, you know, they are young people, usually, who didn't have any work, perhaps, and then somebody makes them, you know, brainwashing them to become fanatic, and
they're doing it as their kids, Vasula. They're training the kids. They're teaching the kids
in these
communities. But this war then that goes on, in order to protect ourselves, shouldn't we also try to? I know you may not be able to answer this, but I will ask you anyways because that's my nature. Do we have a right or an option to do harm to them before they do harm to us? That's a tough question. I know. You don't have to answer it, but you know why I ask that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
I know why you ask that. But, you know, it's now getting political.
Well, I'm not talking that, but I'm just talking about basic humanity here, not even political, Vasula. I'm talking about, you know, salvation.
Malcolm,
yes.
Let me share something. think this is worth that you hear this. I met the bishop of Nigeria. I just forgot his name right now. He lives in Nigeria, and he was praying, and I had invited him, actually, and you were present in the pilgrimage when we were in Rome together. This bishop, he was praying for Boko Haram to stop the evil he's doing, because they were burning churches, they were destroying all the Christians. And you know that, in Nigeria.
Yes.
And what did he do? Remember what he said? He said he saw suddenly in front of him, Jesus appeared to him, holding a sword in his hand, holding a sword and coming towards him. And he feared. What is the sword, he thought. But Jesus came and just gave the sword to him in his hands. And it turned into a rosary. You heard that yourself, Malcolm.
I did.
It turned into a rosary. Now, and he said three times, Boko Haram is gone, Boko Haram is gone. It means with the prayer, he will go, these evil terrorism that is around will stop. Only through prayer.
Okay, well, then we will need lots of prayer.
A lot, yes.
Yeah. All right. The last part of the prayer, could you read that? It starts with, do not allow.
Do not allow the evil one to shed our blood like water. Forgive our guilt, repress your anger, remembering our weakness. Hold back your angels of disaster, giving us one more chance to prove ourselves worthy of your kindness. I put my trust in you. Amen.
Now, I am struck by the words, one more chance. One more chance. Can you explain to, I love this, but you know me, I'm an optimist, Vasula, but explain to me, one more chance. What are we really asking for here? This salvation, that we can make this right again, make the wrong right?
You know, it's like as if his chalice is filled up and over all the way to the brim, and it's about the chalice of justice, and it's about to pour out. For me, it sounds like that, giving us one more chance to prove ourselves worthy of your kindness. It was just like as if something bad was going to happen, like a chastisement, something that still we had to hold his hand back by that prayer. And that is why he's given us this prayer, because we could have had easily a third world war just around the corner. And this prayer can stop everything and diminish his anger.
So through the power of prayer and through getting this message out and this prayer out to Christians everywhere around the world, then what we're saying is this is really a fight against good versus evil, Vasula, huh?
Exactly. In short, it's that.
It is that, yeah.
Yes.
And, I mean, we see all these things that happen every day with all these terrorist groups and these people that want to do harm. And, you know, how the real question becomes, how do we stop them? I mean, how do we be pragmatic and stop them? But you're saying to me, through this power of prayer and through reaching as many Christians as we can to try to change and turn the tide here, huh?
You know, just imagine something.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine something. Just imagine that the whole world will fall on their knees and pray this prayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What will happen?
Well, it would
I believe in a great miracle.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Prayer will be the sword.
I believe if that happened, the way you just described it, Vasula Radan, I believe it would be a tsunami of hope and love.
Exactly. It will be the sword. Remember that he gave a sword, which is the power of prayer.
And that would be the way to defeat lots of evil, is to take it
everything.
And yeah.
And it can do so good. I mean, when there are families that are split, you pray and they become, it takes time sometimes. God sometimes goes a bit slow,
right?
But he answers in the end.
Well, here's the thing. You can feel this power in you through the power of prayer and through the power of just talking to you. I get through my whole body here, my system, my DNA, Vasula. I get just as we say this prayer, as we talk about these things, I get this like awakening. You understand? It's like it's like an awakening. It's like you feel such strength, like you can do anything. Am I right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, you know? It is powerful when you say it sincerely. Because let's finish with the after what he said when he said, "I put my trust in you, Amen." He gave me all this dictation. And then he finishes also, "How gladly will I then receive this prayer?" See, it's so important when he will hear this prayer.
Right, right.
"How gladly will I then receive this prayer?" Shall I finish the whole thing?
Please.
"This prayer that will make me relent." That reminds me of Nineveh. You know, the city that was about to be punished by God, and then Jonas had to go and tell them to repent,
right,
and fast.
Right.
And then he relented. So this prayer that will make me relent. So God wants to relent, and he wants us to pray this prayer so that something good can come out. So he says here, "Daughter, I will bless all those who will sincerely pray this prayer. Let this prophecy be heard. The day and hour belong to me, your God. This is what you will tell to those who will ask you the time and hour of my justice. Love loves you."
Right, amen. This will be, I will have this prayer in its entirety, the full prayer, will be up on our network. It will be on our platform and our sites. It will be on AmericaOutLoud.com, our new, brand new, just exciting network and podcast that reaches around the world. You'll find it AmericaOutLoud.com. We're very excited with our new shows and our new kickoff. Also, I will have it in a special post and reading on MalcolmOutLoud.tv. You'll find it there on our digital television site as well. As you'll find a lot of works on there that I have about faith. I have an extraordinary amount of work on faith on our platform, on any of our sites. And you'll also see and hear different interviews and of times and moments I've done that Vasula and I have done. We have done them around the world. We've done them in Rome. We've done them here in the States. And we have some very interesting dialogue that we've reached people with, and some good message there, Vasula, we have on our platform.
Well, really, I think you have been inspired to put this out. And I thank you so much, because I think it will do a lot of good when people start, you know, the Americans also start praying this prayer. I've been come from Asia, from four countries, and I've distributed this in the meetings I've had there. And we prayed it together, and we were over 500 people in one place, and in other places 400. So it is kind of now going around.
And I will do my part here, definitely. In our final thought, I want to cover with you, I promised our listeners and everybody for a quick dialogue on why there are two dates for Easter, and what is the significance of celebrating just one Easter, Vasula?
Well, this has been going on for years now, that there's the Julian calendar and the Gregorian calendar. And so this does not please the Lord. He's been asking so many times that we have one date for Easter, because for now, I mean, this weekend, it's the resurrection going on for the Catholics and the Protestants. And in 3 weeks, we, the Orthodox, are going to have the resurrection. So this is a scandal, having a twice resurrected Christ. I mean, it doesn't sound good. It's ridiculous. And we are working on that now, that they become one Easter. And I have hopes for this Pope Francis to do it.
Right. You know, interestingly, during the next decade here, there are two actual dates when both calendars do fall on a common date. It happens again next in 2017, next year, Vasula, huh?
Yes. And I hope from there on, the two churches, Pope Francis and the Patriarch Kirill, can do something about it and become one day.
You know,
I think he's going to do it.
Wouldn't that be interesting? And imagine doing that when it happens naturally in 2017, and then we keep it that way. Would be just fantastic. By the way, I reported on that very special meeting in Cuba with Pope Francis and Patriarch Kirill. I reported on it, and I spoke to people in Europe about it, and I spoke to people here, and I did some shows on that special meeting. You know, it wasn't covered as much as it should have been, Vasula. That meeting was historic.
It was historic.
Been 1,000 years that's happened, you know?
Yes. And that is very, very significant for the unity.
It is indeed. It's also historic to be here today and talking to you, dear, beautiful Vasula Rudan. It's also historic as well, only because I love you and love to talk to you about these things. And I know all our listeners do as well. You know, folks, this has been a very, very special production. You'll see this again on our sites. We're very excited to bring it all to you, and on America Out Loud. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Remember, get involved, get loud.